Matthew chapter 26 in your Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 26. I want to thank you for your prayers for Tina. She's home. She's recovering wonderfully well. And I want to ask you to continue to pray for her surgeon. It's Dr. Miller. He's a good Christian man. He prayed with us before he took Tina back to the OR. And he's just a good Christian man. So every time that God brings Dr. Miller to your mind, pray for him. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll begin reading in verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and he wept bitterly. I want all of us to apply this message to ourselves. We are not looking at the Apostle Peter with a superior attitude this morning. We are not pointing our finger at him. We are looking at him with our own weakness in mind and asking God for help and for protection. I have some thoughts. First of all, Peter was a chosen disciple. He was greatly blessed and greatly used of Jesus Christ. He was saved and called personally by our Lord. He is mentioned 33 times in the New Testament. In every listing of the apostles, Peter is first. He was a man of great personality. He was bold and zealous and emotional. He is a favorite disciple, not because he is so cultured or gracious or consistent, but because he is so human. Jesus included him at the most critical moments of his life. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there when Jesus walked on the water. He was asked of Christ to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. It is hard to believe. It is almost impossible to believe that a man like Peter could ever fall, that he could curse and deny that he even knew the Lord, but he did. At a critical moment in our Lord's life, Peter cursed and used the vocabulary of the world surrounding him. He even denied knowing the Lord. Second of all, someone targeted his fall, planned his destruction. Go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we sang about who would do that this morning. Luke chapter 22 and look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Simon, Satan has targeted you. Satan desires to own you. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you became a believer, Satan targeted you as well. Satan is always trying to destroy you. One of the Greek words that describes Satan is the word apollyon, which simply means destroyer. He wants to absolutely destroy you. He can't take your salvation away from you, but he can destroy you if you allow it. Peter, who knew better than anyone else, probably thinking back to this incident in Matthew chapter 26, wrote later, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter knew himself, he understood himself, and he wrote that for us. Satan is always on the attack. He is always studying us to see how he can destroy our Christian life and testimony. And ladies and gentlemen, you know that very well. He's always on the attack. He's ruthless. He's relentless. Howard Hendricks said this. Howard Hendricks was ex-president of Dallas Theological Seminary. He said, the older I become, the more impressed I am with the subtlety of Satan. When he creates a fog, he never creates it in the area of the trivial, but always in the area of the crucial in your life and mine. If you were to make a graph of David's life, it would be a bell curve graph. A bell curve graph is like this. Okay? On this end, there was David's anointing, and then there was Goliath that God allowed him to destroy, and then his military exploits, and then he writes the 23rd Psalm, and then he leads in worship with the people of God. He's king over Israel. Everyone loves him and is singing his praises. He has an unbroken series of successes up to this point. And then at that point, put Bathsheba. From that point, it's all down here. There's the rape of his daughter Tamar. Absalom kills Amnon, who rapes his sister, and then Absalom's rebellion, and then there's trouble and problems and sadness in David's life, and right at the top of that, folks, it's Bathsheba. Satan is always trying to set you up. He's going for your jugular. He's looking for strength, and he is targeting your destruction. Third, Peter was searched, and the plan was put in place. Here's how it happened. And let me just say this. Satan knows you, and he has searched you. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And let's begin reading in verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all of ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. There was overconfidence in Peter's life. It takes a big ego to contradict the word of Christ. The Lord said, this is what's going to happen. And Peter said, oh no, no, Lord, you're wrong. This is not going to happen. He seemed invincible, and he thought that he was invulnerable. Overconfidence is especially dangerous to us who have been saved the longest. You can get to thinking that you are bigger than the issues that tempt everybody else. I would never do that. Others may lose their marriage, but not me. Others may be immoral, but not me. Others may get out of church, but not me. I'm above that. I'm too close to the Lord. Overconfidence is a real problem. I don't have to work as hard as I used to stay in God's will. Don't have to read my Bible as much. I know what's there. I used to study it a lot, but I've been around a long time. I know what's in the good book. It will never happen to me. Let me remind you of Scripture in this book. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. If you are not extremely careful, you begin to take the sacred for granted. No longer are you thrilled to sing the songs of Zion that make you cry. I was raised in church, but I was not saved until I was 19. And I remember the first time after I was saved that we sang the hymn, I Am Redeemed. And what it did, how it broke me down emotionally. What a wonderful thought that was. No longer are you thrilled to go to church. Simon Peter said, it will never happen to me. Second of all, failure to pray. Verse 40 and 41 of Matthew 26. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, oh, Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If I know anything about the flesh, it is weak. Our Lord needed a friend, someone to stay awake and pray for him and pray with him. But he also knew Peter and what was ahead and how he needed to pray. Have you ever noticed, as you read the Bible, how our Lord always prayed? He taught his disciples to pray. And so it comes to us this morning. How much do we pray? When you quit praying, Satan has you. One of my family members several years ago had gotten backslidden, and we were having a conversation, and he told me, he said, "Kim, I can't even pray." And I thought right then, if you can't pray, you don't have a chance. He got right with the Lord. He's praying now, got his family back, and things are going well for him. But he got to the place where he couldn't pray. Third, he followed our Lord afar off. Look at verse 57 and 58. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. I'm glad he followed, but he was so far away. I wish that he was right up close, right next to Christ, encouraging him, loving him, helping him, identifying with him. He followed, but he was so far away. I wonder how it is in your life on Monday morning. Do you follow the Lord, but not very close? It's tough to identify you with Jesus Christ when you are there. Peter was present, but he wasn't identified with Christ because he was so far away. And then fourth, he got comfortable with the wrong crowd. I want you to go with me to John chapter 18. It's the same story, just a different gospel. John chapter 18. And look at verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Who were these people? Let's go back to verses 3 through 5 of chapter 18. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." What he was saying was, "Leave my disciples alone. They're not strong enough. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. That's who I am. Leave my disciples alone." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Who were they? It was the same crowd that had just arrested Jesus Christ. He is standing with the same crowd that Judas is standing with. He is identified with them now. What do you think they're talking about? Well, they had just arrested Christ that night. They were saying things like this. They said he was God. He doesn't look like God to me. Peter is identifying with the crowd that arrested Christ. He was comfortable with them. He was warming his hands by the same fire. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation in which we live, in their talk and their media and their literature, are enemies of the morality and the character of Jesus Christ. May I ask you, with whom are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with that crowd? Can you warm your hands by their fire? When they talk about things that ought to be a grief to your heart and your mind, you're comfortable with that? When you get comfortable with it, you start behaving and acting just like them. Look at verse 22 of John chapter 18. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" When Christ was being beaten on the inside, Peter is outside with that same crowd. So last of all, let's look at the fall. Here's how it happened. John chapter 18 and verse 25. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, "Art not thou also one of the disciples?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." Jesus is on the inside about to go to the cross. To be identified with him would probably mean that you would go to the cross as well. And at one time, Peter was ready for that. He could have done it. But not now. Why? Overconfidence? Failure to pray, following afar off, and comfortable with the wrong crowd. All of a sudden, the great edifice that we call the Apostle Peter fell. Those same four things will cause any good Christian today to fall. Look at verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" In Gethsemane with him? You would think Peter would remember his agony in the garden and would have been broken and say, "You're right, I was there. He's my Savior and Lord." But he didn't. He fell in a cloud of dust. All that is left of his life at that point, pieces. And thank God that's not the end of the story. D.L. Moody said this, "It's amazing what God can do with the pieces of a broken life, considering he gets all the pieces." Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking the word and speaking to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and being concerned about us. And always leading us back to the cross. Always leading us to that place where we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, dear Father, please speak to hearts this morning. If there's someone here that's never been saved, dear Father, I pray that today might be that day of salvation, that they might step out and come forward when we begin to sing and allow us to show them how to go to heaven. And then, Father, for those of us who have been saved for a while, help us always to be careful not to allow these things to become a part of our life where we would ever, ever curse and swear and deny even knowing you. Oh, Father, please help us. Dear God, help us not to ever deny your Son. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Help each one of us to examine our hearts right now. And if there's any of this in our life, that we would take care of it this morning, that we would step out and come forward, kneel around this old-fashioned altar. Father, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.